title of this message this morning is Expect from God. Amen. Expect is the main word. Everybody say expect. You and I, if we're going to get anything from God, we are going to have to expect, and we're going to have to expect that God Almighty is who He says He is. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You got to believe that God is. Amen. How many of you believe that God is? Do you believe it? The Bible says that the things that are not seen are clearly visible, but the things that are. Amen. We look at Mount McKay, it's sitting there. This boom right there. You look at old pictures, it's sitting there. You look at the stars. On the way home, we stopped, of course, to go to the washroom. You can't drive 18 hours without stopping. And so we stopped at a little rest stop, and it's pitch black. I looked into the stars, and I said, wow, look at them stars. And they are, the darker it is, the more brighter those stars shine. Saw the Little Dipper, oh, cute. And got in my vehicle and left, immediately acknowledging that God Almighty is the creator of the universe. And what He wants out of you and what He wants out of me is faith. Faith, faith, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Like one individual at the conference says, if you got it, you don't need no faith. You got it. What do you want? Well, you don't need no faith for that, for that thing that you're believing God for, because you've got it. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it yet, but yet you've got faith to believe it. Kind of like heaven. We believe that the golden streets are there. They're beautiful. They're wonderful things of the heaven, but we don't see it there with our natural eyes, but our faith is giving substance that it is there. And so you got to believe that God is, and that is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You're going to have to be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that what you're believing for is in line with the Word of God. God wants you to have it. He desires for you to have it. And your faith can reach into the spiritual realm and take it and says, thank you, Lord. It is mine. I have it now. Thank you, Lord. And then when it shows up and it manifests before your very eyes and you can feel it with your hands and touch it and observe it, you don't need any faith because it's yours. But the faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So God's given us that means and that way whereby we can acknowledge Him and love Him. We're in an invisible God. Please show yourself. You know, how many times, God, we've cried, oh, show yourself. He showed Himself to us right here. We've got 66 books, all nice. Hey, look how fat that book is, eh? Full of God speaking unto us. All we have to do is take the faith that we have and open the book. Blow off the dust, amen. Get in there. And that's God speaking unto us. That's God speaking unto us. And so you got to understand that there is a fight of faith, amen. There's a fight of faith that Satan wants to take. When I said that it was a rough time and it was a good time, the revelation from each speaker was just phenomenal. But just personally, it just seems like there was tests, little tests and trials that try to get a person down. You know, it's a fight of faith. You and I are in a fight of faith, and you are going to have to hold fast. There is no victory without no fight. Amen? And Smith Wigglesworth says, if you're not being tested and you're not being tried, you're not worth any grain of salt or something like that. I don't know how that works. But anyways, you're not worth your grain of salt or something. I don't know what that is. But what it means basically is that if you're not being tested, if you're not being tried, guess what? Then you're not much good, basically. That's pretty rough, amen? Because salt, it seasons your food. But if you don't have a test and you don't have a trial, there's something amiss. Each one of us are going to go through tests. We're going to go through trials, and the whole lot of them went through tests and trials. Amen? Abraham, the man of faith, God gives him a promise. You're the father of many nations. What? I'm an old man. I'm going to have a child. And he laughed. His wife laughed. But guess what? The laughing stopped when you get serious with God. And you say, God, I got it. Amen. I believe that you're well able to perform that which you promised in my life. I believe that you said it. And I'm going to believe it, and that settles it, because God, you cannot lie. Look at David, amen? He's anointed king. The prophet Samuel came to him, and all his brothers, boom, 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 and finally he gets anointed at the end there. The man of God pours the oil on his head, which is a sign of the anointing of God, and yet he goes to take care of the sheep. How do you think he felt about that, amen? His older brother was upset with him. He was upset with him. And once he came to the battlefield, and his brother Eliab said, "What are you doing here? I know what you're like. You're just coming here to see the battle." And well, of course he came to see the battle. That's what there is. There's a big fight going on. But anyway, sometimes people are going to be upset. So it doesn't matter who's upset with you, who, what kind of tests, what kind of trials you're going through, God wants to bring you out. Amen? And he brought David out. How about Joseph, another man? Has a dream. He has a dream. Amen? And how much trials, how many tests, how many things a person goes through. But yet, when you're faithful to God, you got to be faithful to him and expect that, hey, you said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? Sometimes with the family, it's tough. You're dealing with other people. But the Bible says that as for me and my house, we shall be saved. We can believe God for every single member of the family in our family. Amen? And God wants us to, and he wants us to expect. Expect the very best. Expect the very best. So we've got to expect from Almighty God. The dictionary meaning for expect is the act or state of expecting. You got to expect a weight of anticipation. Kind of reminds me of Christmas time. A weight in expectation. As a kid, of course, if you got some gifts under the tree. Amen. You don't want to wait for Christmas. Today. Where's the tree? Oh, we didn't get one. Any gifts? No. Oh, that's not very good expectation. But if there's something there to be anticipated and looked for, an active state of looking forward, anticipation, an expectant mental attitude, a high-pitched expectation. Amen. You are confident. Amen. You're excited about it. You've got God's word on it. You're thrilled. Something expected to look forward to, an expectation, a prospect of future good or profit. Have great expectations. A mathematical expectation is a large sum of money is expected. So you and I have to expect. Everybody say expect. And so we got to be in that expectant mode. So to be in the expectant mode, there's three areas that you and I got to be excited about. You got to expect, hallelujah, in your mind. You got to have that mind in check. They talked a lot about mindset. Everybody's got a mindset, and you know your mind is set. Amen. There was, I believe, one of the Beatles. He had that song. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. And so, but it's going to take money, a whole lot of spending money. It's going to take patience and money to do it right. Do it right, child. But anyways, that's just a worldly song, but yet there's some meaning to it. Amen. You and I got to expect, and that mind, you got to expect with your mind. You got to get that expectation in your heart, and you got to get some expectation in your mouth. You got to get that expectation in your mouth, and those are the three areas that we have to expect. You know, always be in an expected mode. You know, there was a good thing about in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1 to 16. Now, Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being about the ninth hour, a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Peter, fastening in his eyes on him. So right there, Peter had a manifestation of the Spirit of God. You know, the manifestation of the Spirit of God can just be instant. You know, you can have such wonderful revelation, such knowledge in a second, in a moment of time. And so Peter looked on that man. That man was begging. He was expecting something, but he was expecting probably some coins. And if my understanding serves me right, that means Jesus walked in and out of that same temple. How many times did he see that man? It says the man has been sitting there for a long time. Did Jesus see that man? Did Jesus walk past that man? And that man probably heard maybe the Master Jesus preaching in the temple day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, and heard many times him preaching. If he was put at the gate of the temple daily, then obviously he was there. But yet the two people, Peter and John, going into the temple, looking at him, Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Take heed." And the man was taking heed, expecting to receive from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. rise up and walk. And he grabbed them by the right hand. And the man got up, and his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he began walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. He was expecting. Yeah, he was expecting something, but yet Peter was also expecting, and John was also expecting. They had an expectancy, and something happened tremendously. The man was supernaturally, spectacularly healed. Now, when it comes to healing, some people think Jesus just walked around healing everybody. But actually, in his own hometown, he could there do no mighty works, except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. So it has a lot to do with you and I, whether we are expecting, whether we really believe the word of God. Is God's word true? Is he going to come through for us? And my friends, yes, it does. Amen. When we read the word of God, it is God's word and he cannot lie. So the first thing is you got to expect, you got to put it in your mind. Proverbs 23 verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks, everybody say thinks. What's ever coming your way, guess what? You're going to be thinking upon it, thinking upon it, thinking upon it. It's going to come, and guess what? When it starts to filter down into your heart, that's where either the blessings come or else the trouble begins. Amen? You think upon that. You think upon that. Whether good or evil or bad or wicked or holy or heavenly, what is coming in your and mine mind? God has given us the responsibility that we are to think on those things that are true, that are lovely, that are a good report. How much power we have in our thought. Have you ever thought for a while and then got mad? Amen? I wouldn't want to say put up your hand, because I believe everybody could put up their hand. If you think along a certain line, you can get upset. You can be very, very upset and mad. But how much if we put God's word in our mind? And think upon it and meditate upon it, and it starts to filter down into your spirit, because that's how it gets into your spirit. It comes through the mind gate. It comes in your mind. And so you and I have to be have that thing like a trap door. Amen. You open it up for good. No, that's not good. Boom. Close it. Open it up. Okay, that's good. Yep. Yeah, no, I'm not going to think on that. Joyce Meyer would say that your mind is the battlefield. The battlefield of the mind. And so it comes with those thinkings on how we think. Because whatever goes in that mind is going to get to that heart. And then when that heart is full, you're going to have to, you're going to be governed by that mind and that heart. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 16, it says, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 16, we have the mind of Christ. So if he says we have it, then we can have it. Amen? If he says we can't have something, we can't have something. But God is not a man that he should lie. Though he was the Son of God and he walked this earth, yet Jesus was a perfect representative of the Father, always spoke truth, never lied, never sinned one day in his entire life. Imagine the thoughts that would come to him. There was one time he was sitting around with his disciples, and they said, your mom and your brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. He said, this is my mother and this is my brothers. Amen. And the reason he did that is because they were actually, those mother there and the kids were actually thinking he's crazy. He's absolutely insane. And we've got to bring him and talk to him. You know, I know he's Jesus, but we got to talk to him. And yet Jesus said, no, this is my brothers and this is my mother. They that hear the word of God and do it. He put a firm wall right there. It doesn't mean he doesn't love his mother. Of course he loves his mother. And of course he loves his brothers of his earthly realm there. But he was talking about a spiritual thing. I'm not going to be deterred. You're going to get upset. You're going to be mad. But I'm sticking with my Father. I'm sticking with what my Father has told me. And so whatever comes in your mind, guess what? It's going to filter down into your heart. So I believe that's a good lesson for everybody to watch what you're thinking about. Pastor Roma always says, think about what you're thinking about. What are you thinking upon? What are you thinking upon? Amen? Are you thinking upon the Word of God? Are you thinking that God wants to bless and to help and to encourage? Are you thinking doom and destruction? Are you thinking this is never going to work? It's never going to get any better. This is not going to work. That is not going to work. I'll never be healed. I'll always be broke. I'll never have money. I'll never get a car. I'll never get a house. You'll get a house. Amen. I know when I got married, I was so excited. I was a thrilled camper. Amen. And I met Cindy, and she wanted a house. Oh, she wanted a house. There was a businessman for Buddy Harrison. His name was Charlie Moore. Charlie Moore was blessed. Amen. Her and Charlie got together, man, and she had house hunting on her heart. And to me, it was the last thing on my mind. But anyways, it did work out that we did get a house. We built a brand new house, spanking new, $84,000. Not cash, I wish. But anyways, we bought it, and we looked at that mortgage, and we said, oh, Lord. To us, it was so much. We were wavering like this. Oh. When we signed those papers, we thought it was tremendous. And does that sound like tremendous now? No. You need 200,000 smacks now in this city even to get a little small house. And so that's just a perspective of how you look at things. Amen? And so that mind is so big and so important that we got to think in line with God's word, that all things are possible and it shall come to pass. And because God's word said it, he cannot lie. I'm going to be just like the prophets and all the old people of old, how they took it and they believed in it and they held firm to it. They're not moving. Amen. They're not being deterred because God Almighty said it. And because he said something, we can have it. Amen. So in Corinthians, it talks about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself into the knowledge of God. So when those thoughts come your way, you got to cast them down. This is good. This is bad. This is good. It's a full-time job with your mind. Okay? Because you can get worn out. Wore out, Brother Hagin would say, and I never understood it until finally you experience it. You understand it. You could make as much noise with your mind as with your hands and your feet. That's just a natural stomping, but yet your mind can be like that constantly. Boom, 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 boom. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What is this? What is that? Oh, no, this isn't right. This is right. This is right. You know, it'd take a, you know, if it wasn't for God's grace and his mercy, a lot of us would be down. Amen? But yet with the word of God and clear thinking, guess what? He'll put us right up. Amen? A sound mind, a firm mind. One that's thinking correctly, amen? Not disturbed, not worried. You know, there's so many things, and things happen just out of the blue. We were in Tulsa, I was driving with Jennifer, he was there, and we were talking, there was just the two of us, and we'd come to it was a stop sign, and then it turned green, and so we're right there, by the, you just passed the green light, just there, and then all of a sudden, both of us look, and right beside us is a fire truck with the siren blaring and the lights going. And we both said, where did that come from? And how quickly it happens. You know, if I wanted just to go a little farther, I could have ran right into him. Wouldn't that have been exciting? No, it wouldn't be. But the moral of the story is it was just right there. Many times on the railroad, when the wind blows this way, Those trained people, they blow their horns. And yet people, I didn't hear it. And then other times when the wind blows, I hear the wind blowing in a train way far away. You hear it because the wind carried it. But if it carries it the opposite way, you can get in trouble. And so, you know, sometimes expectations come just at the last second and you're just like, oh. Just when you think that you got everything's going good, okay, I got the finances good, health is good, then all of a sudden, whoo, where'd that come from? And then there's another thing to deal with. And so it's going to be like that our entire life. But thank God we can think and have the mind of Christ. We can think clearly always. It's God Almighty is going to help us think clearly. And what we think about gets down into our spirit. It gets down into our heart and it'll govern your entire life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say the renewing. You know, our spirits are alive unto God. They're all excited about the things of God. When you got born again, you were thrilled on the inside. But yet the mind is something that God has left in our responsibility. It is our responsibility. If I want to think any old way, guess what? I can think any old way. And that old way is going to take me down, down, down. It'll always take a person down when it's not in line with the Word of God. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like a house that you renovate. Your spirits are born again. It's like a brand new house. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. But the spirit or the soul is like a renovated house. You may change the windows. You may put some wallpaper on the wall, or you may paint it. You may do different things. And that is with your mind. You got to continually renew your mind until you have the mind of Christ and you can think in line with him. But there's always going to be opportunities to take that away from you. But you got to continually think on the Word of God. Have the mind of Christ, because that's what God desires for each one of us. So it says here also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, put off the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So when a thought comes your way, no, I'm going to reject that. When a thought comes that way, no, I'm not going to think on that. Amen? I'm going to think good. If a thought comes about a person, I'm going to think good about that person. Amen? If a thought comes about this, no, I'm going to think good upon that. Amen? Mastering the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Full-time job. Everybody gets to do it. You're going to have to do it. If you don't do it, it'll sooner or later will come. You know, sometimes it's sad when some people experience and they take their own life. You know, a lot of times they thought about stuff. And sometimes when they say things, it's very harsh. It's very cruel. That's why I never don't want to ever mess around with foolish talking. Amen? Because what a person gets in the heart, that's what they say. And it leads their whole body. It leads their whole life in that direction. So that's why you want to think on things that are true, that are lovely. It may be true. It's not very lovely. I'm not going to think on that. No, I'm not going to think about anything. I'm not going to think evil upon my neighbor. I'm not going to think this. I'm not going to think that. I'm going to endeavor to have the mind of Christ, because whatever's in your mind is going to filter down into your heart. And when it's in your heart, it's going to govern your life, and it's going to come out of your mouth. And so we want to think on things that are true, lovely, of a good report. You know, if it was all just a joke, it'd be fine, eh? If it was all just a fun, but yet it is so serious. Life Almighty is so serious. When God says you fight the good fight of faith, that means there's somebody that wants to take away your faith. He wants to take away your word that you have sown, that you have spent time in, that you went to Bible school for, that you did this, you did that, and the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, that I've got life and life more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, I'm thinking on those things that are true. Thank you, Lord, that I'm being led of the Holy Ghost. I know God's voice. I hear his voice. The voice of a stranger I don't follow. I hear his voice plenty of times, but yet I want to hear God's voice, because it's God's voice that's going to put me over. It's God's word. Has he said it, and will I not do it? And has he spoken, and will he not make it good? He'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. But if you just don't have no power in you because you thought on things that are trashy, that you thought on things that weren't in line with God's word, then there's no power there to activate God's promises in your life and my life. And so thank God we can think in line. We can think in line with God's word. It'll get into our hearts, and then it'll get into our mouths, and we'll speak God's word. So put it into your mind. The next one is put it in your heart. Everybody say, put it in your heart. Those good things that you ponder on, that you think in God's word, that you hear in God's word every day. Amen. We have church here on Wednesdays and Sundays. Wow, 2 days. What happens the rest of the week? Amen. Thoughts are coming. Thoughts are coming. Thoughts are coming. Actions are doing. People are saying. People are speaking. You're doing it. You're living your life. Amen. And thank God that God wants us to live for him every single day. Amen. One person, I heard this last time in camp meeting, that he prayed the Ephesians prayers for 6 months every day because he believed it. God, give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe according to the working of your mighty power that you raised up Christ from the dead. And he said he prayed that for 6 months. Months, and then all of a sudden, amen, you got a different mindset. Things are changing. God is speaking to you. It's getting down in your heart. It's getting in your life. It's affecting your actions. I actually, sometimes, you know, you only believe certain things. And you only believe certain things about certain people. You know, and it is funny. It is funny. Because you look at Brother Hagin, say the man who lived, worked in the ministry, did the ministry 60-some years or whatever. There's a beautiful 50-year camp meeting that he just was in the camp meetings for 50 years. And it showed how he started. And it was an amazing little thing. And I believe it's supposed to be on YouTube. And you could actually see it for yourself. It's about 45 minutes long or whatever. And talks about his beginnings and how he met in this church building there. And he says, yeah, and then, you know, there's a motel across the way, and people will come, and they'll come to that motel, and they'll come in the camp meeting. There'll be an indoor camp meeting, not an outdoor camp meeting. There's going to be an indoor camp meeting, and people are going to come. And, you know, people came by the thousands and thousands and thousands over the past 50 years. Amen? He maybe thought it was small, but guess what? It's large. It's big. So thank God what God Almighty puts into the heart of a man and a woman. Amen? For with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Praise God. So you got to put it in your heart. What goes in your mind is going to get to your heart. Now, Romans 10 and verse 13 and 14, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is salvation scriptures. How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? You believe with your heart. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? So your believing is going to come in line with what you heard. What you hear is what you're going to believe. What you hear is what you're going to believe. What you hear is what you're going to believe. What you hear is what you're going to believe. What you hear is what you're going to believe. Amen? How shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? How shall they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how should they believe in him whom they've not heard? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to continually hear. You're going to continually hear. And when everybody is gone, away from you, guess what? You're going to have to continually hear. Amen? Hallelujah. You're the most important factor in your life. Amen? Thank God for people and godly relationships that God puts together, and they're all vital and important. And one fellow in the afternoon session talked about the godly influences in our lives and the associations that we have and how they're God-ordained and God put together, and you ain't going to make it without the other, so to speak, in a proper way that God has planned. Of course, he'll work all things together for your good, but he puts people together for a purpose. He puts people together for a reason. Amen? He said about Doug Jones, which he's one of the instructors there. He's about 67 years old now. But Brother Hagin's own word says, you know, I needed him. I needed him. He went and he pastored for a couple years. He came back. He said, I need you. He went again and he came back and he stayed all those years. He's one of the pillars of the teachers. That's funny. But anyways, Brother Hagin said he needed him. Amen. So if he needed him, he needed him. Because you need people. Amen? You're not an island unto yourself. Amen? You're not an island unto yourself. You need people. And introverts, they got to learn the lesson that, hey, you're going to have to break out of your box and you're going to have to go associate with people. Talk with people. Go on a boat cruise with people. Do something. Amen? And so thank God for that. So the word of God, it says here in Romans 10, 3, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? So your believing is going to come in line with your hearing. If you hear correctly, guess what? You're going to believe correctly, and then you're going to be able to act correctly. You're going to be able to govern your whole body because you're hearing and you're believing and you're speaking and you're acting in line. Romans 10, 8. Everybody look at this word here. It says, and what says it? The word is near you. Where is it? Where is it near? In your mouth? In your heart? It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. What saith the word? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. And in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach or teach and explain. So the word of God is in your mouth. It's in your heart. Continually say God's word. Mutter God's word. Speak God's word. Because it becomes a reality to you and I. So whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So put it in your mind, put it in your heart, and then put it in your mouth. Now the third one is put it in your mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life. Everybody say death and life. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. So whatever you're eating, whatever I'm eating, guess what? It is the things that we've said, and it's the things that we thought about, and it's the things that we believed, and the things that we acted upon. Whatever you think about, guess what? It's going to get into your heart. Whatever you speak is the way you're going to act. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if God has given you and I the responsibility to speak life, amen, to speak life into our own situation, not death, speak life because of the word of God, speak life, not death, speak life, that God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a will, he has a desire, he has good things in store for me, he has a job, he has something for me to do, amen. For with God, all things are possible. He desires me healed and well. So I'm going to hook up in line with him and say, thank you, Lord. I believe I receive my healing. Even if it's not manifested, I believe that I receive my healing. Amen? For God, all things are possible. So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. I will come to a short conclusion with Numbers chapter 4 and verse 28. Numbers 4 and verse 28. Now God has sent the spies into the promised land. God, Moses, has sent the 12 spies into the promised land. He said, go spy out the land, bring back a report. Okay, well, they're just going to the promised land, you know, to spy out the land, check it out. They go and they look there, and they see these giants there. Now, these people are bigger than you and I. Apparently, they were big. I don't know how big. There's big people. But I don't think they're as big as that. Those people back then, they were giants, apparently 9 feet and higher, big, strong. Goliath was a fighter from his youth all the way up, and so he was a killer. Amen? He could kill people just with one little flick, and they're out of here. But David killed them through the power of God. So anyways, back to Moses and his story. And so he sends 12 spies into the promised land. And he says, go spy out the promised land, bring me back a report. They come back. They said, Moses, this land is just like you said. There is grapes. They had to carry on two poles. I don't know if they were just one big grapes or what. They're huge grapes. You just, amen, they're delicious. Big grapes on a pole. They're carrying these grapes, a cluster, one cluster. So you got to have imagination. They're not like the ones at Safeway or wherever you shop. These are, there's some nice grapes out there, seedless and green ones and red. But anyways, I don't know what these were like, but anyways, they had these big grapes. They took one cluster and they had to put it on a pole. They just couldn't put it, here, just put it in this little bag. Okay, I'll put it in my pocket, we'll go. No, it was big. And they gave this report to Moses. They said, the whole thing, everything is perfect, just like you said. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a beautiful place. But, they said, there are giants in the land. And we are in their eyes. What did they crawl inside their head, in the giant's head, and look out and say, oh yeah, there's the grasshoppers? No, that was their thinking. Their thinking was stinking thinking. They said, there's giants in the land, and in their eyes, we are grasshoppers, and we cannot take this land. They specifically said, we cannot take this land. 10 of them said that, but 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, the Bible says, was of a different spirit. They were faith people, amen? They were faith people. They had enough common sense. It just needs common sense that when you're walking, okay, there's a wall of water. This is the Red Sea, and it's a wall of water. This ground is dry, and there's a wall on that side. And we're walked through that wall of water. Somehow it jarred their attention and said, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. I will not limit God by my inability. Amen? I will not limit God at all. Because with God, all things are possible. So Joshua and Caleb, they were of a different spirit. They were like Jerry, eh? He went down, he came up, he was looking all around. He didn't know where he was. He said, the power of God hit me. The power of God hit me. He was of a different spirit. And people of faith, people that want to believe God and trust in him are of a different caliber. Amen? It looks hopeless, no money, but yet they're of a different caliber. There's COVID, but they're of a different caliber. They say, no, with God, all things are possible. Amen? Hallelujah. Even if they take the vaccine, they're still able to come through. Amen? And if they didn't take it, they're still able to come through. Amen? For with God, all things are possible. So Joshua and Caleb immediately jumped up and told Moses and the people, no, we are well able. Let us go. Let us go. We'll take the land right now. Let's go. Let's go. They were excited. They were thrilled. They were on guard. They had their guns loaded. They didn't have guns back then, but they were ready to take the land. All things are possible. Amen. David's mighty man, one guy slays 1,000 guys, kills a lion. I tell you, there's some mighty things in the spiritual realm that God is able. Amen. He's given us 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God. Working of miracles, gifts of healing, special faith. All things are possible. Amen? So Joshua and Caleb said, no, let us go up at once. And all the millions of people, 2 guys and Moses, all the millions of people said, we can't do it. It's too hard. It's too big. It's not going to happen. And they murmured and they complained. And then they said, let's get stones and let's kill Moses and those 2 guys and let's go back to Egypt. It was way better back then. But immediately, guess what? God shows up. Everybody say, God shows up. And when God shows up, the doubters and the unbelievers have to zip their trap. Amen? They cannot say one word. Hallelujah. And God shows up. And such a disturbance. And immediately those 10 guys, now God didn't kill them. They killed themselves with their own foolishness. Those guys died before the power of God. They died. And what were they doing? Were they cussing? Were they swearing? Did they bring a couple of 6 packs of beer to them when they went in the promised land? No. All it was a word of doubt and unbelief. The Bible says they brought up an evil report. It was evil in God's eyes. When God tells us something and we don't believe him, that is evil. Amen? And especially if we speak and say, God, are you able to make a way in the wilderness? Yeah, he's able. God, are you able to get some water? Yeah, he's able. Amen? He's able. God is able. And he wants each one of us to be of that spirit of faith. And those 10 guys who brought that evil report dropped. And guess what? All the rest of the people said, okay, now we missed it. Now let's go up in the morning and we're going to go and take the land. Moses said, no, no. God said that we were supposed to take it. Not this right now. And they all went up there and they got beat and then they came back and then they complained for several more years. And then their children went in to spy out the promised land. So what you and I have in our mouth is so very, very important. Amen? It comes by thinking. Amen? Think about God's goodness. Think about how you were saved. Think about all the things that he's done for you. From the very time you remember to the very moment right now. Think about the goodness of God in the land of the living. Has he blessed you financially? Bless God. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Has he healed you? Thank you. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Amen. And always recollect that. Always being a recollector that said, hey, God has been good to me. God has been faithful to me. He's never left me. He's never forsook me. He's with me always, even until the end of the age. Amen. His presence will never leave me. He's always with me. Amen. It's going to be okay. Hallelujah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank God that the expectancy that each one of us have, it comes by thinking. It comes by believing. And it comes by speaking. You're going to have to think constantly in line with the Word of God. Anytime your thinking gets off track, guess what? Immediately bring it back and say, Lord, forgive me about that. I was thinking too much on that. I thought about it once. I thought about it twice. I thought about it 3 times. Oh, I thought about it 4 times. Now, Lord, forgive me for that, because that's not in line with the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's thank him. Let's be expecting, hallelujah, that he is a faithful faithful, faithful God, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we expect, hallelujah, we expect you to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. And so we want to say thank you, Lord God, for that supernatural, dynamic power of God on the inside of us. Oh, we give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you for filling us with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Though you are invisible, yet you are inside of us. You also come upon each one of us. Hallelujah. Sombo kubran keshte izavakistanderabasikerabasa. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Either God's word is real or it's falsehood. And he's never falsehood. He never lied once and he cannot lie. So thank you, Lord God. Oh, we bless you this morning. Hallelujah. We say thank you, Lord God. Let's all say this confession. Say, I believe in you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my strong tower. You're my everything. I love you, Lord. And I want to do your will. I want to do your plan. I want to do your purpose. Thank you, Lord God. Brother Hagin used to say this prayer. I'd watch him as he prayed and see how he prayed. He would say, Prepare thou me for what thou hast prepared for me. He'd pray that prayer. Prepare thou me for what thou hast prepared for me. That each one of us would prepare our hearts. That God may want to speak to you. God may want to lead you in a certain way. Amen. So, Father, we just want to say thank you that as you prepare us, your plans, your purposes, your will, not our will, but your will be done in every facet, in every area. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a good God. Thank you, Jesus, that you make a way in the wilderness, that you provide us food and water and clothes, that you provide everything we need, jobs, hallelujah, family, whatever any individual desires or wants, hallelujah, in your will, in your plans, and in your purposes. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us, guiding us, and directing us. Wash us clean in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our friends, over our homes, over our children. We plead the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The enemy cannot have them. He cannot have them. He cannot have them because the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything, any force of the enemy, because the enemy has been whipped. He's been defeated 2,000 years ago by you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, we worship you this morning. Hallelujah. And we give you praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.